very thing. There are many reasons given in the Bible for rejoicing, and our text commands that God's people always rejoice. And if you've been through this week so far, the first 3 days of the week, and you've found yourself with some other thoughts than rejoicing, let me encourage you tonight that you realize what the Bible says are reasons for rejoicing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." Verse 5 says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And of course, beyond the first verse, which was our text, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again I say rejoice, the Bible gives some reasons for rejoicing. And the admonition is to be careful for nothing there in verse 6. In other words, don't be filled with care. Don't be worried about things. Instead, let your rejoicing be made known. Let your thankfulness be made known unto all your moderation, the Bible says in verse 5. And that has to do with self-control and balance. And there are some good reasons in the Bible for rejoicing. We're going to explore some of the biblical reasons and look up some scripture on the subject of rejoicing tonight. Why we should rejoice. Have you rejoiced in the Lord today? Have you thanked him? Have you praised him? Have you said in your heart, "What a great God I know. What a great God we serve. And he is worthy of praise, and he certainly does have the ability and the presence to bring rejoicing to our heart day by day." Let's pray as we'll begin tonight. I pray that you'll, Father, help us that we would see these reasons for rejoicing, and we'd understand that you want us to have a rejoicing heart. Father, you want your people to be joyful in the Lord. And that would be an evidence of our confidence and our trust in you. And Father, I pray that we would live by faith. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for you showing us in the scriptures that everything's going to turn out all right. Father, you're in control. And help us to rejoice in you even tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The first reason why we ought to be rejoicing in the Lord is because of God's promises. The Bible says he will not fail. He gives promises, and every one of his promises will come true because God doesn't fail. To rejoice means to be glad or joyful, to be full of cheer, and that's the same meaning in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. Rejoice, to be filled with cheer, to be cheerful, to be glad. And it's a legitimate question to ask, is it easy under every circumstance to rejoice? And I think that we would all agree, no, it's not easy. Sometimes it's not easy at all. I have confessed to you on occasion that difficult challenges and valleys for me make it hard for me to rejoice, and that I'm maybe just now learning how to be joyful, how to rejoice in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a challenge, because that's not our natural tendency to be joyful in difficulties and trials. We do need to do this on purpose because God commands us to, and we will grow impatient when we want things to happen now rather than us having to wait. And God wants us to be patient. Look at James chapter 1 with me. This is an important passage of scripture and one that many of you know. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations," and that means different kinds of testings, diverse temptations, "knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." The trying of your faith works patience. And you've heard me ask this question on other occasions, is God in a hurry? No, he's not in a hurry. The Bible tells us that 1,000 years with the Lord is as one day, and one day is 1,000 years. God's not in a hurry. And we might, you know, Joseph in the prison might have thought, oh, it's been so long. Maybe it was 10 years. Maybe it was 12 years. Maybe it was more than that. It's been so long. And God would say, you know, it's just been a couple days. What's the problem? What's the big deal? I have a job I want to do. I have a work I want to do in your life. And we're not told that he was a complaining, murmuring, or unbelieving person. We're not told anything negative at all about Joseph. And so we are assuming that he was able to understand this principle. You know, it's so long for God to accomplish his purposes sometimes, and we don't want to wait. But us learning patience is a great thing. The Bible says that the trial of your faith, the trying of your faith, works patience. And verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. He doesn't talk about being delivered from temptation. He talks about enduring temptation. And when that person is tried, if he's able to endure that, and we understand from that the trial has a purpose. And sometimes our unfulfilled intentions cause us to fail to trust the Lord. We want to do something. We want to see something accomplished. And it results not in rejoicing, but in suspicion. But that's not God's plan. Turn in your Bible with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 14 says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. If you're reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you because of that. I remember there in Acts chapter 5 that the apostles departed from the council, and they were rejoicing because they'd been counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And that's what this is about. It's about being happy, being reproached for the name of Christ, being reproached for righteousness' sake, and being able to be joyful and rejoice in the Lord even in the face of difficulties, because God has made certain promises. Look in your Bible to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18 say this, if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so the suffering that God's people experience, the Bible says, is not even worthy to be compared to the glory. And so we should rejoice because of God's promises. Quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and most of you are familiar with this portion of Scripture where the Apostle Paul was talking about and writing about struggling with his thorn in the flesh. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, the Bible says, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And the Apostle Paul besought the Lord three times that this difficulty, this thorn in the flesh, would depart from him. And God said, no. He said, I want you to have this still, because my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so the Apostle Paul's response to that was not that he started pouting, oh, God didn't give me what I wanted. Instead, he said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. Why? Because he trusted the Lord to do what was right and do what was best, regardless of whether it felt good to the Apostle Paul or not. Was it hard? Can we rejoice regardless? Can we wait? And it can be hard for us, but it's also good for us. And we acknowledge that, and we accept that, and we can rejoice in the Lord regardless, because he does all things well. Well, there's another reason for rejoicing. We ought to rejoice because rejoicing is a source of strength. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the Bible says, "The joy of the Lord is thy strength." Are you weak? Are you weak in faith? Are you weak in endurance? Are you weak in convictions? The joy of the Lord will be a strength to you in any and all of those particular areas. Find something to rejoice over. Learn to count your blessings. Now, look in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 26 in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 11. The Bible says here, "And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you, everything that the Lord hath given unto thee." That word rejoice, interesting, that word occurs 192 times in the Bible, rejoice. And the Bible says here, Moses commanded the people, rejoice in everything that comes into your house, everything that you experience, rejoice in it. We ought to rejoice. It's the source of strength. The joy of the Lord is thy strength. Thirdly, we ought to rejoice because of all of our blessings. And there are so many things for which we should be thankful. I read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, that Hannah rejoiced over the child that God gave her. Thank God for little ones. I know they can be a trial. I know they can be a challenge. Thank God for them. Rejoice in His blessings and be joyful over such things. Thank God for clothing and food and shelter. And Matthew chapter 6 speaks of this. And the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Christ was talking about food, clothing, and shelter. He was talking about all the physical needs being met. We should be thankful for those things. And if you were able to go to the refrigerator this evening and get something out and have plenty to eat so that you came to church with a full belly, you ought to thank God for that. And if you can pillow your head on a soft bed and have plenty of blankets and have plenty of clothing and have a warm house to go home to today, thank God for that. Be thankful. Rejoice in God, in the Lord. Thank God for salvation, for His mercies, for His goodness. Now turn with me to the Psalms. Psalm 31. We ought to rejoice because of all of our blessings. In Psalm 31, verse 7, here the Bible says, "I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities." In trouble, the Lord is there. In adversities, the Lord is there. And so there's reason to be glad and rejoice in Him. Look at 33:1. "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." It looks good on you. Thank God for salvation, for His mercies, for His forgiveness. Praise the Lord for that. Rejoice that you are one of His own. Rejoice that when this life of trouble and difficulties and tears and fear and sacrifice and hardship is over, if you're saved, you'll go to be with Him forever in heaven, and it'll all be past. I marvel sometimes when I read the Apostle Paul's summation. I think it's chapter 4, verse 17. He talks about 2 Corinthians 4:17, his light affliction. He says, it's just for a moment. It's just for a moment. And every difficult season you've ever gone through in your life, you can look back on it, and it just seems like it was just a little while, and it was over. No matter if we experience challenges and difficulties and trials in life, or if your life is a smooth way, relatively clear from major obstacles, no matter what it is, one of these days, that's all going to be over. If you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll be heaven for all eternity. and no more troubles and no more worries and no more fears and no more tears. Won't that be a glorious thing? Rejoice over God's blessings one of these days. And you know, for a child of God, there's another great reason to rejoice, and that is the fact that all of it is for our good. It's all for our good. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's all for your good. God intends only good for his children. He will not, according to his word, will not do anything in your life that is ultimately to hurt you. If you're a saved person. He will not. He's a good God. He's a kind God. He's a faithful and a gracious God. He will not ultimately hurt you. He's trying to build your faith. He's trying to make you strong. I regularly have opportunities, because my wife and I go and exercise at an exercise facility on a regular basis. We see people. I watched a guy just the other night, and he was doing squats with, it looked to be about 200 or 300 pounds. And he had a belt on so he wouldn't tear something in his abdominal region. But he was doing squats, lifting up on that much weight. And I thought, wow. And he is noticeably more muscular than he was when I first saw him going to that exercise place. And we say, that's hard. That's hard. And a person's got to work up to lifting those kinds of weights. That's true. And whenever we build our muscles, it's hard work if it's going to be profitable for us. And God wants to profit his people. God wants us to be stronger in the Lord. And so he gives us hard times many times for that purpose, just so we'll be stronger, to build us up. Thank God for his mercies, for forgiveness. Thank God for his protection. Look at Psalm 30, verse 1 says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. There is protection. He says, you haven't made my foes to rejoice over me. They, in other words, they haven't had victory over me. Divine protection is something that God's people should be thankful for. God has protected you. How often this season, this winter, has your house been broken into and you've been threatened physically? This happens fairly routinely in some parts of the world, but I would say that probably no one in this room has had that ever happen to you, at least not in recent days. And God's protection over his children is something that we should thank him for. Thank God for his wisdom and his purpose. God has great plans for you as his child. And so we ought to rejoice because of all of our blessings. And I've challenged you before to take the time, and I did this once. I should do it more often. But I just sat down with the intent of writing out 100 things for which I was thankful for that day. A list of 100 things to be thankful for. And you start thinking along those lines and you remember a whole lot of things that you don't normally consider. Thank God for all of his blessings. Rejoice in the Lord. He's been good to you. Yes, he has. And no matter how difficult your life or your situation is, God has been good to you. He has been. And I can say that without fear of contradiction. The fourth reason for rejoicing is that there's divine power in praise and rejoicing toward the Lord. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and this is a passage of scripture that may be familiar to you. It's a real inspiration to me in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 18 and following. This is about the nation of Israel, the nation of Judah, actually the southern kingdom, being threatened by their enemies. In chapter 20, verse 18 and following, the Bible says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." They went out ahead of the army, the singers, and wouldn't that be a switch? If we were going into battle and we had the singers step up here, and you're going first, you guys are going first, you girls, you start singing and you lead the army out there into the battle. And that's what they did in this situation. And the Bible says in verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And the Bible tells us that the people of Judah didn't even have to get involved in the battle because God fought for them, because they praised the Lord and they rejoiced in God and thanked him for all of his blessings ahead of time. There's power, there's divine power in praise and in rejoicing that's given to the Lord. He desires and he deserves praise. The Word of God says that God is pleased when we praise him. And God empowers his people and reveals his own power when we trust and praise him. You need God's power in your life. You need God to intervene for you in some way. Praise him. Rejoice in the Lord. You may be surprised what God can and will do. Why do bad things happen in our world? Why are there real wars and rumors of wars? And why is there so much rebellion and violence in our world today? Why is there so much death due to AIDS and other diseases? Why is there injustice in the world today? Because of man's rebellion against God, and it's about sin. But that doesn't mean that God's people can't still rejoice in the Lord and praise him and thank him. And we should, because he has taken steps to defeat the reign of Satan and sin in this world. He just hasn't brought it to pass yet. He's going to. Rejoice in the Lord ahead of time. Praise him. There are so many reasons to rejoice in God and to thank him and praise him for his many wonderful provisions he's made for his people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us.